In a world full of film and TV news.
This just in.
Breaking news for you now.
Gotta interrupt you here. We have some breaking news.
To another story that is breaking overnight.
Three men have joined forces to bring you
The Weekly Cut.
Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Cut podcast, a place that brings you the latest news and reviews in TV and film each and every week. I am your host, Brad. Don't know why I just done that entrance. And this is co-host Connor T.
Hello there.
How are we?
Yeah, full of Turkish.
You've changed, mate.
Yeah, I know.
I've been your pal for as long as I can remember.
Yep.
Now you're staying up London for client dinners.
Corporate world.
Who
corporate
do
boy.
You think you are?
Just a corporate girl.
Was it actual Turkish?
Yeah, it was Turkish.
I need one of those.
Yeah, it was Rogue.
Was it?
Yeah.
What was it called?
Enya.
Love good it. Though?
Yeah,
is nice. Is it like just every single Turkish restaurant you go to?
Yeah. If you're American, just Google Essex Turkish restaurant, and that's where I've been. It's all the same. All the neon lights, the flowers, all
yeah,
sorts.
Yeah, it does the job. I've got some sad news, but I wanted to say it because I'm going to dedicate it to the little man.
Oh.
Me dog, Ollie.
Oh.
I think it's Wednesday. He's going to be put to sleep.
Oh.
I thought I'd bring up, I know you've had it. I've had it in your past as well. Other than losing a human, there's probably nothing worse.
I can never do it again.
It's horrific. But in the, what makes me feel good is he's 15.
He's had a good innings.
What an innings.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and see him tomorrow, say goodbye. So this for him. Say a little cheers, mate. It's to Ollie.
To Ollie.
You old fucker. okay, so this is what made your cut this week. We've got more casting news for Fantastic Four, and we can't wait to talk about it.
Yep.
New Matrix movie details, a shocking update on Daredevil Born Again. Just how much did Indiana Jones 5 lose Disney? Director Denis Villeneuve's next two movies, some huge news on that. And stick around as we'll talk a little bit about Invincible. And I also saw Monkey Man on the weekend.
Yeah.
Let's get into it, my friend. Also, just quickly, follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Weekly Cut and leave us a review if you really can. It does help us out. So thank you very much. Okay, so Connor, Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah.
You like John Bernthal, didn't you?
Oh, I love him.
We'll just talk about him just quickly before the big shocking reveal. He is Mount Rushmore comic book casting for me.
He is. You can never see anyone else
other
than him.
Absolutely not. I don't know if you saw any set images and videos. He just looks exactly as he should for Frank Castle.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. That has wrapped, by the way. Filming is done. Everything's wrapped up in New York, so that's coming late next year, I believe it is. It's going to take some time, obviously, but can't wait. Now, this is the shocking, which I don't think this has ever happened before. Do you remember Vanessa?
Vanessa.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Incredible. She's back as Vanessa Fisk. What people might remember is she was fired and recast. When this Daredevil started, they'd hired someone for Vanessa. I can't remember the actress's name now.
Oh.
And this woman filmed stuff.
Oh.
And then do you remember it all? Kevin Feige went, this is shit.
Oh, yeah.
And pulled the plug and started doing it again. And then she was approached. Her name, I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but Ayelet Zura, who was one of the best things from that Netflix show.
Yeah.
The chemistry was insane.
So they realised that actually the Netflix show is pretty good.
Let's just tag off of the Netflix Daredevil.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd bring you that because everyone I speak to about this, even the comments on our Twitter, everyone seems to be hyped about that.
Yeah.
She was brilliant.
Yeah. Get the good things and bring them over.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact wording of the scene, but it was when he was forgiving someone and you feel like, oh, Wilson Fisk is actually, maybe he's grown a little bit. And he goes, but you have Vanessa.
Here we go.
And then I think he slams someone's head off. But yeah, it's just brilliant. Like I said, the chemistry works, so why not change it? But good news. Now, some big pieces of Hollywood news to bring to you. We'll start with The Matrix. It's been confirmed, official. A fifth installment is on the way following Matrix Resurrections.
Yeah.
Straight over to you, Con.
I don't care for it. No. I haven't seen 4.
So bad.
Yeah, and I knew it was.
Yeah.
This is a franchise that's dead. Was the third one good?
Yeah. So the first one for me, and I assume you agree, because I know I'm a sci-fi geek that watches constant shit that I probably shouldn't, and I watch too much stuff.
Correct.
But The Matrix 1999.
Yeah.
that's, you know, that's top 20 movie in history. Easy.
Yeah, if I think Matrix, I think that one.
Yes, the Matrix. That is just, never seen anything like it. It changed cinema in terms of, you know, bringing in the bullet time stuff that we now see today.
Yeah.
It was just that good. Then 2 and 3, Reloaded and Revolutions. I do like them, but they're not as good as The Matrix.
Yeah.
But they have incredible moments in them, i.e. in the third one you just said, remember the famous fight in the rain with all the Agent Smiths?
Oh, of course.
So iconic. But the film does have some bad moments. So let's just get that out of there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the trilogy was great, but then 4 come along and it was bad.
Yeah.
And it was really bad. But yeah, where do you land on this? Because I know me and you think of the same. I don't believe in things can ruin something that was once great. I don't actually believe in that. However, I don't think they should be doing this.
Yeah, I agree. There's no appetite for it.
Yeah, that's the best. Yeah. There's no appetite.
There's enough out there that we don't need The Matrix.
Yes.
We had our time on The Matrix. We've moved on.
Yeah. So, like, for people I was sort of speaking in the comments about, I understand your frustration. I get it. They shouldn't be doing this. It was insane. Go check it out, at Weekly Cut on Twitter. I think we had, between quote comments and replies, roughly about 100 people give voice their opinion. And I would say about 90%, maybe more, was in anger over this.
Yeah.
Which confirms Connor's no appetite.
Yeah, I'm not angry.
No.
So, ruin my day.
Oh, they were.
They were getting annoyed.
They were getting annoyed. Yeah, it doesn't ruin my day. And this is what I was trying to say to people. It's not 1999 Matrix is still going to be great.
Yeah. You can still watch it.
You can still watch
it. It's still on.
It's still there. But yeah, I get that it is. It's not ruining it for me, but I don't see any logical reason to do this.
Yeah, it's kind of like Bad Boys.
Yeah, that's a very good example.
I know Bad Boys, they just churn it out. This is a bit different, but we've had Bad Boys. We've had The Matrix fun. Let's do something else. Now we've got stuff like Dune and stuff like that.
Yeah, look at some books and how to adapt something or think of something original.
Yeah.
I don't know. Please
do something original.
Please. Okay, nothing more to sound like. There is no news yet if Keanu Reeves or any of the cast are returning. I'm sure once Warner Brothers drop that big bag of money, I'm sure they'll come back.
Yeah.
So no issues there. Okay, so moving on. This is the second biggest piece of news that come out of the week. It's Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and not rant too hard, and then I'm going to come to Connor for his opinion, but we will just throw the news out to you now. Julia Garner, people know from Ozark, etc., will play the female version of the Silver Surfer, known as Charlotte Bell. Now, I have nothing against the actress. Mm-hmm. She's great.
Yep.
Seen her in Ozark, etc. Phenomenal. I am now starting to think Marvel just hate their fans.
Yeah.
This doesn't spell like a good idea because they know the reaction is going to be a bad one. It's going to be a... Whether for right or wrong, whether people are being sexist or not, it's not going to make the waves you want.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's at a pivotal time of the MCU where we need some hope. The MCU needs a win. So who thought that would be a good idea to play with something different when everyone knows that we like Noran Rad, the main Silver Surfer?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts, Con?
It's like they've said, do you want this? We go, yeah. You want Fantastic Four, yeah? Yeah, we do. All right, well, we're changing it. And you're having this, you're having it, but you're having our version. Marvel and MCU will not give us what we want. It's like we almost have to say the opposite, and then they'll give us exactly what we want.
That's actually a good point. Maybe we should start spelling out that we want this, this, and this, and it's a shit idea.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, we'll do this, and that's the bloody one we wanted. Look, I can't understand it. Look, people are going to say, oh, but there was a comic strip where there was a female version of the Silver Surfer. This woman, just for some backstory, this Charlotte Bell, she was Noran Rad's, who we all know from the 2005 Silver Surfer, voiced by Lawrence Fishburne. That character, that was his love interest in the comics. So that's what she's known for.
Yeah.
So they've not gone, oh, we've gone and got this character who's known as a really powerful herald of Galactus, and we're giving you that. Okay, that sounds great. I don't care if it's a woman then.
Yeah.
But don't take the Silver Surfer and then go, you know, the love interest.
Well, yeah.
Let's make her the Silver Surfer. And then, you know, the Fantastic Four movie that's going to kickstart this big, massive multiverse saga. Let's what's the word? Let's play around with that and put her in there.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like an experiment. It's like they're just having a laugh. Let's experiment with that.
Yeah. And my annoying thing is, it's like, if you say, in the world we live in today, if you say you don't like it, people call you sexist. Yes. People say, oh, you need to get with the times, blah, blah, blah. This isn't a good idea. We know what Silver Surfer we want. Everyone wants it. We don't want the female version. Now, you can call me sexist because, oh, well, females should have a role as well in the MCU.
And they do.
They've got a massive role in the MCU. One of the most powerful heroes in the MCU is a female.
Confirmed.
There's loads of them. It's pretty evenly split.
Talking about Black Widow, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's pretty evenly split. So it's not a point where it's male dominated and they're given a female role just to bring a female audience in. It's already established. So if you've got a Silver Surfer, which everyone knows and loves, why would you give us another one? It doesn't make sense.
That's exactly the issue. That's our gripe. I struggle to see any logical sense in this, especially, as I said previously, it needs a win. And again, I just feel so sorry because this woman is going to see things online. It's Julia Garner. Yeah. And she's a good actress, accomplished actress. She's going to see things online, but she's been offered a really good role and loads of money, and do not blame her for taking it at all. It's just Marvel. I really am struggling to defend you. We love your movies. Yep. You gave cinema one of the best experiences ever in that MCU run with the Infinity Saga. But I just struggle to see where you think fans, and not just your fans, we know you need the families to get out there and spend money to make big box office movies. It wasn't the hardcore fans that made Endgame make $2.2 billion or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was the world and families going to see cinema. But you have to start thinking about what your fans want and then making a good story around that. It has to be both. It has to be a balance of both.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm starting to think that maybe Marvel just want to stop now. I want to just stop doing all these films. They can't be arsed anymore. And they're trying to make films and change stuff where everyone gets sick of them. And they go, oh, well, no one cares about these anymore. We might as well stop. That's what they do.
I completely agree.
I'm just tired of it.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist either, but I'm starting to think the rumors of Apple are going to buy Disney.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a case of, look, Bob Iger and all that know it's going to happen, so let's just keep churning out some money so we can get some bonuses. Here's a movie, and then we'll sell it off.
Yeah.
Or they have to keep doing it to make sure the investors stay in embedded, and then they get more money for the Apple sale. I really don't know, but something is fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, so there's an issue.
You have stopped making money. You've stopped making loads of money than you was in your Infinity Saga run. The critics are completely against you now with pretty much 90% of your movies. So something is fundamentally wrong. That's not Connor's opinion. That's not my opinion. Factual evidence. Yeah.
Maybe Kevin Feige's got to go.
Maybe he's
bored. Yeah. Daddy's time.
Needs a new challenge.
Yeah, maybe he's just waiting for James Gunn to knock on the door.
But I mean, I don't know how me and Connor, we're probably going to get people say we're sexist.
We definitely will. 100% will.
And okay, you're quite right to think that's your opinion, but look, I just can't comprehend this one. And this to me, Deadpool 3 is not going to save Marvel. That's just going to be a really fucking good movie.
Yep.
And fun cinema that's going to make $1 billion. But Fantastic Four is so much more important than Deadpool 3 because that's given us our lead into Secret Wars, etc., and stuff like that. So it's so pivotal. You've
got to pull me in.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to pull us in.
If you don't, you don't. And just because someone says I don't like it doesn't mean they're sexist or racist. Sometimes you can just not like something.
Yeah. My last point, we'll move on to it, other stuff now, but my last point is, some people will say that, oh, but it's set in another universe, and that's what I just wanted to touch on. There's been long-standing rumours that this is going to be set not in the Earth 616 MCU that we know.
Yeah.
Daniel Richman, I think 2 weeks ago, come out saying it's definitely in another universe. And then also last week, we got an official new poster for Johnny Storm. I don't know if you saw it, but in the background, there was a skyline that looks nothing like we've seen in the MCU. It looks really like futuristic.
But
I don't know, it's not our universe. That's confirmed it pretty much. So regardless of, oh, but we're going to get the real Silver Surfer in when it transfers over to our universe, Yeah, that's not good for now, though.
No, exactly. So, yeah,
we need someone. I've got to go and watch this movie, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on. Please share your thoughts. We're going to share a little snippet of this. Please be kind. We'll go from there. Okay, moving on to Denis Villeneuve, one of the best directors out there at the minute.
It has to be.
Not as good as Big Boy Nolan. He's the king, Sir Christopher Nolan, my man. Do you know how like, close they are? They're like really close friends, aren't they? Yeah, Christopher Nolan. They're like, maybe they just know they've got the Hollywood by the balls at the minute.
Yeah.
We're the big dogs.
You come to us.
You come to us. Okay, but news broke in the week of two new massive movies that Mr. Denis is doing. And for a lot of people, you're going to be very happy because it's now officially in the works. Dune Messiah.
Good news.
It will conclude the trilogy known as Dune. Happy?
Really happy. I need to know how it ends. Yeah. I need to know what's going on.
This, to me, has a lot of potential to become one of the best trilogies out there.
Yeah.
Because if they can, it's going to be hard, but if they can surpass Dune Part 2's third act by maybe having a second and third act like of that magnitude.
Yeah.
I don't see how that doesn't go from good, great, fantastic.
It's a holy trinity. It's like a Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes, exactly that. Very good argument. Probably the most perfect trilogy out there you can think of. We've done an episode on that if you want to scroll back on trilogies. another one for you. We'll move. Oh, and also Dune is doing very well. I think it's at 660 million with only 100 and I think it's about 160 or 190 million budget, so under 200. So it's well made its money back now. Yeah, and everything's just making profit. And I think they've extended their IMAX run this April, so it's probably going to make a little bit more as well.
Yeah.
So well done, Dune.
Congrats.
The next one, very, very surprising. We're going to get into it, but the second movie is based on a New York best-selling book titled Nuclear War, A Scenario. Run through this really, really quickly. The book explores a ticking clock scenario about what would happen in the event of a nuclear war, based on dozens of exclusive new interviews with military and civilian experts who built the weapons and have been privy to the response plans and have been responsible for those decisions should they need to be made. Basically a sequel to Oppenheimer.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Does that tickle you, Fancy?
It does.
It does me.
I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
Mr. Villeneuve, he knows how to do two things. Adapt books, and his visuals are phenomenal.
You know what? Well played. Weren't even thinking about the adaptation of a book scenario.
So I think this will look, it will look spectacular.
Yeah.
And I think it will just keep you gripped to the screen because that's what he does. He knows 100%. How to do it.
I completely agree. And obviously we just mentioned that him and Christopher Nolan are very close. Mm. I'd be shocked if they didn't, you know, exchange notes on this because the book that Oppenheimer were based on, which called The American Prometheus, was about this as well. I just don't see how this isn't a very successful movie, as well as also people just off fresh of Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I've obviously got a taste for it. Nuclear.
I think there's an appetite for it now because you've got Oppenheimer, Civil War's coming out. Can't wait for that. And a film like this grabs me.
100%.
Maybe it's the world today and you think it's so close to on our doorstep that I want to see what's going to go on.
100%. Can I say something a little bit arty-farty?
Ooh, fart away.
I didn't expect that comeback. I think a film like this would be successful for a reason as to why I think, not the main reasons, but a reason why I think Oppenheimer was successful. Now, I understand you had Nolan attached to that. You had an ensemble cast attached to that. You also had a very, very unprecedented marketing skin with Barbenheimer. So a lot of factors, external and internal, that made that a massive success.
Yeah.
Put that to one side. I think because of, I'm going to sound like such a cock, because of the state of Hollywood / cinema right now, I think directors like Nolan and Denis Villeneuve and stories they will try and tell, if they challenge the audience a little bit, I think there's a bigger gap than there ever has been for that because people, for whatever reasons, and again, this isn't my opinion, it's factual, are fed up with sequels and superhero movies and stuff like that. We will still watch them, but people, the majority are fed up.
Yeah, I agree.
So 100%. Do you get my point there? I feel like that's why they're saying, let's do that.
At the moment, all the films I want to watch are films that make me think.
Yes.
And are proper stories. I'll tell you in screens I watched the other night.
Nice.
But it's just... it's not superhero fatigue. It's just like Hollywood that we've known for the last 10 years fatigue.
Very, very good point. Do you know what? I think we should snippet this as well because it's a really good talking point.
Yeah.
Do you know what? We're not coming and bashing superhero movies because I have loved them. They are part of the reason why I adore cinema. And I will still continue to watch superhero movies. I'm excited for many. We're excited for many that are coming out. But you're absolutely right. The state of cinema and the things that I'm excited for, and when I see trailers now, the more I'm excited are those films that are making me think and, oh, that's different. And, oh, that's adapted off that book. What's that about?
Yep.
Not the, oh, let's just slap a number 3 on a successful IP and it's a sequel. Here we go.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
Have it. Same again.
Exactly that. Really, really good point. But I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Okay, let's move on. We're actually hit now. Time for Invincible, my friend.
Oh, that's quick.
Okay, so Invincible Season 2, it come out. We're going to talk about some bad stuff for now. We've spoken about it on the podcast before, but it's more evident now that the series is ended. What did Prime Video do here?
Massive boo-boo. And I didn't think they would do it.
No.
I didn't think they could make a mistake, but the release schedule was an absolute mess.
It was, as for people who don't know, 8 episodes. It was split in 4. Four as part 1, 4 as part 2. And did it work, Con?
No.
No.
Now, full disclosure, the last 4 episodes I watched today. I started at 8:30 this morning and I finished it about 2:00 this afternoon. I watched it in sort of breaks. But my hype train had left the station.
Yeah.
And I was at the platform.
Completely agree. I've got some gripes with the series. I loved the finale, which I'll explain a little bit more why I loved it in a second. But what about the series for you? Because I'm sensing not as good as number 1 for you.
No, not one bit.
Oh,
for
he seems stern, that face there.
Now, the end
could be the Turkish.
probably the Turkish. It's riding again. But the first half of series 2, I was excited.
Yes,
the way it ended, I was excited. Part 2, the second half, I feel it was quite lackluster in terms of, not lackluster, but it didn't go the way I thought it would go.
I do tend to agree with you there. I made a note on here that it felt like season 3 and 2 are like a split whole bigger season.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like what season 1 did when it ended, not just withstanding that epic finale and brutal and intense scene we got with Omni-Man. But yeah, it did feel, when this ended, as much as I love the finale and the points I'll go into, it did feel like we are going to get, it's like a mid-season finale, and then in 2 months' time, we're going to get the final 4.
Yep.
And then that will finish the series. So yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch it with the same, I watched the first, episode 5 and then 6, and I was just getting a bit like, this is getting a bit of a draw.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. They were quite, I said to you earlier today, did you feel like the first, because at that Angstrom Levy didn't show up until the finale.
Yeah.
And obviously a great villain. I think he was absolutely brilliant. But yeah, he didn't show up to the finale. So that it almost felt like it was just its own contained story, the episodes 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
And then episode 8 was a completely different story, really.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the finale? Was it better than the others, or still just you felt something was missing?
What was my favourite episode? It probably was better than the others, the finale. It's probably the best out of the bunch. But I was very underwhelmed. I was expecting bigger things than character development.
Yeah.
Because that's what I feel I've got. I feel like I was robbed a bit of... There was a good fight scene and stuff, but I feel like it was more focused on character development.
Yeah. Rather than... I do agree with you there. They shot themselves in the foot by going too hard with season 1 and the finale there. So how can they match the bar? I don't know, but yeah, I thought Angstrom Levy, Sterling K. Brown, who's the voice actor, he was horrible.
He was a villain.
He was, yeah, he was. That's what I put down here. Actually, he was a villain, and I understood the one thing I love about my villains. Is I love to be able to relate or slash understand where they're coming from. And there's a moment in the finale which is just insane.
Yeah.
Where, so basically, Angstrom Levy, he is experiencing multiple personalities at once of his person.
Yeah.
He's I don't know what you call him, his variant, all the variants of that person, Angstrom Levy, is in him and his big weird brain.
Yeah.
And he experienced being killed by Invincible on multiple different universes. And like this one where it looks like Auschwitz.
Yeah.
It does. It looks like Auschwitz, and Invincible's walking down a line just chopping heads off.
Yeah.
And like it's just brutal. I can't get over that. And you see one where he laughs and he kills his son in front of him.
Yeah, with a dog in his hand.
Yeah, and it's like, this is probably a bit too much.
Yeah, too much. A little bit too far.
Yeah, too far. But what I mean by back to the villain, it helps you understand why he hates this Mark so much.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. And then he throws him through all these different dimensions. You don't really see that sort of fight. It was a weird dynamic fight, wasn't it?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I liked it.
Think of the different, like, the characters that he met?
Okay, so we're talking about... Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I guess, sorry. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Quick one.
I did like it. I did. I knew we was going to get something like that. I think Marvel said no to having actual Spider-Man.
Oh.
Because he's in the comics. Spider-Man is in Invincible comics. There's crossovers. But I think they wanted to use Spider-Man in this as a little cameo.
Yeah.
Marvel said, fuck it off.
So it went Sony.
<Should have. laughs> But is that maybe because of how hard R it is?
Yeah, maybe.
Even though the scene isn't hard R, they probably just don't want their character of Spider-Man being associated with blood and intense and gore.
Yeah.
Mate, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I did like it. And there was a Batman one as well.
Yeah.
So was you not a fan?
No, I didn't mind it. It was quite a fun little thing for audiences. And if people who just watch this off a whim and think, oh, there's Spider-Man there. Oh, there's Batman there.
Yeah.
Who else was there? There was another one. Mad Max, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course, Mad Max. People might have noticed they went to the actual Walking Dead universe because it's Robert Kirkman, the creator of both.
Oh, of course.
That was actual Rick Rams core. they went through loads of different things. It was fun. Was it done in the right time? Because it was quite a serious scene we were building to. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But it's still, for me, it was quite fun seeing that. And it showed how many different universes out there, the power of Angstrom Levy, the reach he has. For me, the moment that precedes that, where the worst nightmare happens for Invincible, where he doesn't hold back.
Yeah.
And he kills Angstrom Levy.
Yeah.
And the parallel of him and his dad with the blood all over him, looking at his hands. It's what Omni-Man done to him in the finale season one. I thought that was brilliant.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And I was getting, I don't know if it's a hangover from The Boys.
Right.
It might be. Now, I like to see superheroes just go mental now. And through the whole series, I was thinking, like with the bit where it's a big sea monster with a cruise ship, I was thinking, just go fucking mental.
Just go mental.
You can beat him easy.
Like that woman does. Yeah. The other Ultramite.
Just go through the head and it's done. And I just want to say, just let go.
Yeah.
So when he did do it, I thought, yes.
Yeah.
Because I was just tired of him saying, getting banged.
Yeah, 100% agree. There was a, I can't remember what episode it was in the first part of this season where he's fighting with Nolan and that woman is banging him. And then Nolan says to him, if you don't stop holding back, we're going to die.
Yeah.
And then he looks at all the dead aliens and then he sort of goes, loses it and he beats the woman.
Yeah.
Like you say, just want to see him stop holding back.
Yeah.
One thing really annoyed with, I wanted to see more Nolan.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably my favourite part. He's a bit like Homelander. Homelander's the villain, but he's probably my favourite character.
That's where I thought this was going.
Yeah.
And it led you that way. We didn't get there.
No. It did lead you that way. I completely agree. We are left in a good situation because Alan, the alien voiced by Seth Rogen, he's back and more powerful than ever. And he's infiltrated that prison, and they're going to have an epic prison break scene in season three, quite obviously. And I think we're going to get a big Nolan story arc in season three, but just something was missing. That was definitely one of it. No big Nolan.
But I suppose they've done it correctly, because if I got that now, maybe I wouldn't have watched season three. Maybe I would have. But now I know I haven't got this Nolan story yet. So I've got to watch season three.
Yeah, it does feel like they have. I don't know the comics, but I agree with that. It does feel like they've maybe gone, let's just stretch this out a little bit more. And we probably can get a season, three seasons out of what would be two incredible seasons.
Yeah.
And they are, and like you say, maybe the character development will pay off in the end, once we get later down the line. Because I definitely am, as I'm getting older, I'm definitely on, which is why I love June so much. Yes, it can be a slow burn, but I think when it does finally kick off, things hit a little harder and things, you understand a little bit more why. And I think everything just makes it for a better scene, but that's only if the payoff works.
Yeah.
So do you think, one of my final questions, do you think the payoff will work then with season three? I thought Holly was just coming through the ceiling.
I thought the fucking house was going to fall through. I was like, Jesus Christ. That was it.
That's all you need, Con.
Oh. Sorry, what was the question again?
He was just catching your wife from falling from the ceiling. Do you think Prime Video, Invincible, will they give you a satisfying payoff in season three?
I think they will, yeah. Because it's a good series as a whole, and this was a good series.
It was good. It was good.
I suppose I can compare it to the Game of Thrones final season. It's the series is fine. It's good, but I felt a bit shortchanged.
Yeah.
But I suppose because this isn't a series finale.
Yeah.
Season.
It sounds like we are on the same length then. You felt like this was just a stopping point to the bigger, wider story.
Yeah.
And I think like, well, these Viltrumites just bloody come already. Because
just kick off, please.
Just kick off, please, and give us that. We definitely are getting that in season three. People like Conquest and Crag are coming. But yeah, I just think it was a good season. Wasn't as good as the first. But I do think we'll get there in season three and it will be insane.
Yeah, and I suppose they're thinking about it. We need Nolan at full strength. We need Invincible at full power.
Yes.
We probably need Alan as well.
Yeah, big boy Alan, yeah.
And Oliver will grow up.
Yep.
And I think he'll get his powers.
He's fast growing as well, yeah. In season three, he could probably be Mark Grayson's age in season one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I forgot about that.
So maybe it's four of them and they can take, because the Viltrumites, if they come now, they're fucked.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's still half, he's the same amount of Viltrumite as Invincible.
Yeah.
So yeah, he should get pretty beefy.
Yeah, he should get a big boy. Yeah. So my favourite bit of the whole thing was,
what was it?
Scene in episode 7, where he's at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the animation style.
Yes.
And so sometimes they're covering the mouth so you can't see them speaking. Yeah. And sometimes behind the head. I thought, I need to go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
Because they've definitely done it.
100%. There's little moments like that, even when they was doing the Agent/Spider-Man thing. He went, you're not surprised? I've just come through a portal. He goes, nah. Seen a lot of that recently. It's very, very clever what the boys do as well. So yeah, I love it. I still adore this show.
Yeah.
Massive, massive fans. Just can't wait for season three, which we won't have to wait for too much longer.
Yeah.
Okay, Con, it's time for what's on our screens, mate.
Tell me!
I've got quite two big boys, so I'm going to throw it over to you first.
Oh, I've got two old films I watched. Oh. Go. I watched Coco the other day.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I love that film. I had a little cry.
Is that your favourite, right?
Yeah, it's my favourite.
Pixar, yeah. Fair enough.
Do you know what? I teared up. I'll tell you why. I think it's because I got Baby on the way.
Maybe it is,
I was watching thinking, oh, this is really nice.
Is it? I don't want to get too thingy, but that's quite a good point. So I just wanted to, is it because you're excited for watching films like that with your child?
Yeah, and I think the story, I just felt really sad for Miguel.
Yeah.
So I thought, that's pretty sad.
You definitely got to get more softer once you become a dad. But obviously you've been a massive Pixar fan all your life, and Disney, etc. So the fact you've got a kid on the way.
Well, I can't wait. I'm watching the whole library again.
All of it. Get your VHS out. Anything else you got?
Yeah, immediately after Coco, I watched Gone Girl.
Wow.
And I watched it because we were talking about Fincher. It's Fincher, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We were talking about Fincher the other day, and I thought, what film can I watch that would just grip me? I thought, this is the only film.
I was just about to say, he's your other one that just lays out things. It's Seven, Gone Girl, which we said. He's the one, even done Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Things that just, like, what? But you just think. It makes you think, and it opens up.
Yep.
Love David Fincher. Oh, absolutely brilliant.
And that film is brilliant.
Social Network.
Oh, of course.
Oh, mate. Yeah. He is a director and half.
Brilliant film. I seen that.
That's one of my, I genuinely fucking 10 out of 10 movie. Okay, I've only got a couple of things, biggies. Monkey Man.
Oh, yeah.
Just quickly. I only found out recently some of the things, how mad this story is. Netflix bought this for $30 million years and years and years ago.
Mm.
So they've made money already. So Netflix bought this and then went, actually it's too dark for Indian audiences. Then Universal and Jordan Peele come along and said, because Jordan Peele's got his Monkey Paw production company.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
We'll have this. And then not only that's just one little hurdle. And then when they were filming during COVID and the scenes were so intense, when you watch the movie, you'll completely understand how intense they are. He actually, Dev Patel, who stars in and directorial debut, so congratulations, he broke his hand and the finance was like, we're done. We're shut down. We've got a bubble for COVID. You can't keep going in and out of getting your hand sorted, and we can't pause.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to do. So then he went to these different doctors and they basically put in a temporary, like, still now in his hand. Jesus. And he showed on Jonathan Rocha, I think it was. He showed the X-ray, and then he had to complete the rest of the movie, retool some things, and finish the movie with like that, and then get it sorted.
Okay,
mental hell. Dedication.
That is dedication.
And then just the movie itself, it is. I absolutely loved it. It's as I've put in my review on our Twitter. It will get compared to John Wick and films like that. They even do a John Wick reference, but I think it's a purpose one, because he basically says to him when he goes to get a gun, and the bloke goes, I got some John Wick gun for your Beretta, yeah, like that. And he goes, no. So I think that's sort of a message to say, this isn't John Wick.
Yeah.
I'm different. He's not, you know, he's not as good as John Wick as well. So for the first half of the movie, he is very, very out of his depth.
Ooh.
Like, very out of his depth. And, you know, he has to resort to last minute biting someone's nose off just to not die. And, like, he's not really clean cut. Yeah. And then, without spoiling it, later in the movie, the reason he does that is because he needs to feel pain for what's happened in his past, which is fucking horrific, which you keep seeing flashbacks. But then, late in the movie, someone helps him redefine. If you basically channel that pain into purpose, and he gets purpose, and then what he becomes is absolutely incredible. Yeah, and then the final act of the movie, I don't even think he speaks. He's just he's like a new man, and it's just brilliant. But yeah, Dev Patel, wow. Very, very good.
Does he turn into a monkey and marry a monkey bride?
Yes, he does. And that's the sequel coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wedding. Very, very good. And then lastly, just WrestleMania 40.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
WrestleMania. It's just, I asked two of our friends, Sean and Billy, because it felt really good to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not a massive WWE fan, but I do like WrestleMania. And I said, was it good? Like, am I being, you know, over the top? And they said it's probably the best Mania in a decade.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And then we had, you've probably seen everyone online, but there was a moment where The Rock has been brilliant for months now. Yes, he fucked up at the beginning, and they had to pivot and, you know, pick up the pieces and make this story, which completely worked. But yeah, he's been really putting in the effort, and he come out. On night one, he'd done the tag team match, and he was brilliant. Everyone was worried he might not be able to wrestle because he's a little bit older now.
Yeah.
Bloody great. And then in night two, there was this moment where Roman was beating Cody Rhodes because all the bloodline were, you know, coming out and interfering. And then John Cena comes out, helps out. Then The Rock comes out to battle John Cena. Rock bottoms him. And then The Undertaker comes, and it was just... I was really enjoying it, but the voice notes I was getting from Sean and Billy whilst we were watching, it was just screams.
Yeah, that was a big pop, The Undertaker.
100%.
People were saying that Stone Cold, it should have been Stone Cold, but they couldn't get their deal over the line.
Everyone fought, and the main thing would have been Stone Cold comes out, stunners The Rock. Mm. That would have been absolutely epic.
Yeah.
But they actually think it was... some health issues. For whatever reason, the Stone Cold Steve Austin thought, fuck off, can't be asked.
Yeah.
Sean did say that he is quite grumpy, even though he's an icon and the legend. Apparently, he's quite a bit of a grumpy old fucker.
Fair enough.
He did come back. It was really good. I love events like that. That's why I watch Super Bowl every year. It's well worth it to me, but fair play. Anything else you got?
No.
Let's go on fucking scraps, bro.
Bunch of scraps!
Yeah, I think I've got no scraps again, but
I've got Uno scrap.
Did we talk about the Joker 2 poster last week?
No, that's my scrap.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Joker 2 poster, Twitter again, 8 weekly cut. The trailer should be tomorrow.
It is right, nice. Yeah,
trailer tomorrow. But the poster is concerning for me because it is the Joker and, what's her face?
Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn. Have a little dance. It's like a ball.
Yeah.
And we know before that there's going to be 12...
15.
15 musical numbers. Now, I'm not worried, just concerned.
I am worried. Yeah. Because, look, again, it's not going to ruin my... Me and Connor adore 2019's Joker.
Yeah.
Perfect. There's no flaw in that movie. There is nothing I could say that was bad. I thought it was magnificent. So it's not going to ruin that movie for me, but I get you want to do something different, and that's the whole point why Todd Phillips come in to take this story with Arthur Fleck and Joaquin Phoenix, but I think they maybe have pivoted too much away from what was so successful, the most successful R-rated movie in history, by the way. So, yeah, I still have faith.
Yep.
But I am so concerned, I've got to be honest. Yeah. It was the 15 cover songs. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
But then it might only be 20 seconds. When I hear songs, I'm thinking 3 minutes.
I'm thinking full-on productions, dancing, backers.
It might only be that sort of she walks into a room and then she like sort of goes a bit crazy and then a 20 seconds of a famous cover song happens.
Yeah.
And that might be one of the 15, like 15, 20 seconds. Then that might work, and it depends how Todd Phillips makes all this seem possible and real. Again, I have faith. I can see his idea.
Yeah.
But it's just how much are you going to put into this?
My only worry is you go different, and you did with Joker. You went different.
Very
it worked.
Different, yeah.
Perfect film. So just stick to that. Just do that again, but a different story. Just apply the same things, do it again. You don't have to go one or two musical numbers.
Yeah.
I can bear.
The only thing I'll say, my last thing I'll say on this, is that, do you know what? We're going to get DCU's, I have faith in James Gunn. I think he's going to do, not. I can't see him replicating what the MCU done.
Yeah.
The time has sort of passed on that, but I can see him doing a successful few year run on these movies. I think Superman Legacy is going to be great. I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
And I think he'll do some good movies. But we're going to get that. So, it's almost a case of, do you know what then? Just run with it.
Just go mental.
If it's shit, I won't like it and I'll just watch Joker 2019.
Yeah.
But do something different then, because I'm getting this, I'm getting that from elsewhere.
Yeah.
So do you know what? That's what I keep telling myself.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, I keep telling myself, look, Brad, I know you're worried, and rightfully so, as Connor just said, but if they're ever going to do anything a little bit risque, do it in Elseworlds.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Wow me.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can't wow me, I'm going over it.
That's exactly the output we should look on it. So that's it. Like I said, trailer is coming tomorrow, April 9th. So stay tuned for that. Check out Weekly Cut. We'll pop it on there. That's the show, Con. Yeah. Speaking of tomorrow, CinemaCon Vegas. We should have been there.
I know. Gutted.
If you wasn't up to date, me and Connor had to cancel our Vegas and LA trip because both of our lovely wives got pregnant. Which we're semi-happy about. No, I'm joking. We're very happy about. But yeah, would love to have gone Vegas.
Yeah, I've got to check on my wife because I think she might be...
half through the ceiling right now. CinemaCon starts tomorrow on April 9th. Like I say, check out Joker 2 trailer on our socials. But we will drop all the announcements that come out of CinemaCon. I wouldn't expect massive amounts because I just realised yesterday we're getting SDCC, San Diego Comic-Con, this year. Which Marvel wasn't present last year, etc. And not only that, D23 returns this year.
Oh, yeah.
Which, if there's ever Disney needs to instill some investor hope into the company, it's effing now. So I think D23 and SDCC will be huge for both Marvel and Disney. So there'll still be some drops. We've got Lionsgate, we've got Legendary, we've got Warner Brothers, we've got Paramount, Universal, all those are coming. CinemaCon, so stay with us. But thanks for listening this week.
And thanks for having us in your ears.